From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com.
Hello, Nomi. We're at Indaba X on a chilly morning. The buzz is starting to pop up now. Participants and delegates are arriving, and you'll be giving a keynote actually shortly. So on the backdrop of that, I just want to know, how does Lelapa AI, how has it grown from this community of AI enthusiasts and developers and researchers in specifically the Indaba X?
So the Indaba as a whole is a really core component of why Lelapa exists, both in terms of the company and the co-founders, but also just in my own personal experience and involvement in the community and what I'm now contributing. I'm pretty sure it's actually this room that I did lots of tutorial sessions around signals and systems in my undergraduate years. And it was in those years that in 2017, the first Indaba was held in this very same building. One of my co-founders, George Kondaris, actually judged a poster that I had submitted to that Indaba. He doesn't remember it.
But what was the poster about?
It was, it had a catchy title. It was something like using neurons, like neural networks, to detect neurons, because it was segmentation of neurons in the brain using neural networks. That's what the poster was. But yeah, that was the first time many of us met at the big Indaba. And actually, my relationship further solidified with both Benji and Jade, my other co-founders, at the first Indaba X held in KZN in 2019. So I think the African continent is at an advantage when it comes to turning research into usable things that can make a difference. Firstly, because there's so much space to make a difference. But secondly, because we have an automatic mindset of applying our research to solve everyday challenges. And that was one of the things that really stuck out for me at the first Deep Learning Indaba, was that all of the posters were applications-based for research. It was neural networks for detecting brain cancer, or for detecting malaria, or protein structures for things like HIV, you know. It was very much applications-based. So we are at an advantage, but doesn't mean the road is easy. One of the major things is around finding a market product fit. So ensuring that the thing that you're building is something that people actually want and want to pay money for is a really interesting and very important journey of commercializing something. And as soon as you've built something that people are willing to pay money for, then you've solved the problem and you can go ahead with that. But alongside that, especially in the deep learning space, you require a lot of resources, a lot of compute resources to train the big machines, a lot of resources in order to deal with the data issues that we have on the continent in terms of creating data sets. So a large part of commercializing is having a really strong network that is able to support you either through direct resources or funds, so that you have the time to develop what it is that you need to push out there. And yeah, I think the last component is certainly around marketing and putting yourself out there. It's done an incredible job for Lelapa being where it is now. And I think when you come from a tech background, you really underestimate the power of communication and communicating with the people that you want to solve for. And yeah, that's another really important point to consider. I think those are the top three things in my head for now.
Very interesting. Now, Bello, I mean, you've had an experience from an academic point of view, research. And now you're on the more commercialization with Lab AI, you know, and what you, with the beautiful job you guys are doing with Obula Bula. In terms of critical skills, I mean, there seems to be the buzzword. I mean, just when you're speaking with people in the space, the buzzword seems to be, you know, NLPs and large language models, you know, those are the buzzwords. But now, from a critical skills point of view, I mean, we're in an environment where, you know, we have a lot of graduates and we can influence them into a particular skills and areas that are sort of needed but are not focused on. What would you say those are the critical skills currently, outside of the, you know, LLMs and, you know, NLPs? What sort of critical skills are needed in the space?
I think the most important thing, just education-wise and even moving forward as we have more of these AI tools that become extensions of our capability, is being able to adapt really quickly to things that you need to learn to solve new situations, and learning really quickly and continuously. So although, you know, there is a lot of hype around the NLP space, I think a key component is understanding the fundamentals and the basics of machine learning in general, because who knows, deep learning may hit a wall in the next couple of years, and then the entire field will pivot to something else that works. So understanding the basics for machine learning means that you then aren't able to build all the other stuff on top of it, because it's a foundational technology. I mean, of course, specializing in particular fields is useful if that's what you know you want to do, but a lot of people don't know that that's what they want to do. So for example, in my case, I studied biomedical engineering, and my expertise is actually in the medical space, but here I am in a language company. But a lot of the generalizable skills that I learned in that training, I can now transfer to other areas. For youth in general, I think that, you know, NLP is a low entry place because the data is freely available. But there is a huge private sector market where companies have the data in-house, and there's potential to use that to then help solve problems within the company. So for example, in the finance sector, banks are some of the institutions in the world that have the greatest amounts of data, which means there's so much you can do there. But learning how to solve a Titanic data set on Kaggle isn't necessarily going to give you the tools to be able to deal with real world data, manipulating it, using it, and then using it to build sophisticated solutions to complex problems. And so with that being said, I think the data journey and really focusing on data, understanding data, telling the story of data, is a really fundamental component that a lot of graduates kind of look past because they're just excited to build models. And really out there in the world, neural networks are just a small fraction of what is actually bringing about a change. Most of it's just like logistic regression and XGBoost. And really it is the data that is the key and is the juice and has the real potential, and people should be focusing more on that.
Now, talking about data and language, I mean, you guys are actively, you know, commercializing and in the pursuit of that. But now, Bilonomi, there's a lot of regulation in terms of AI that is currently being initiated on the continent. The South African government just recently put out a draft, you know, sort of document on it. I know it's also happening on, you know, an African Union level. Mm. How are you navigating the regulation aspect of things as you now, you know, about to, you know, release like Bula Bula, you know, into the open and start now actually commercializing some of these things?
Yeah, I think some of that influence in terms of how we're developing and how it shapes our direction, we're quite lucky because many of those regulatory components are firstly to oppose existential threats, but secondly to be able to limit the damage that generative systems can inflict on the world. And because of Lelapa's ethos around building smaller models with a pipeline, there's an opportunity there for us to exercise a lot more control over the system, a lot more transparency, interpretability in terms of what the system is actually doing, and then making sure it's not doing things like hallucinating. So just in the nature of who we are and the principles that we believe in from a development perspective, making sure that we're generating impact on the African continent, we already fall into place and fall in line with a lot of the regulations coming through because we're just trying to do our thing.
Can you maybe just expand on when you talk about hallucinating, making sure it's not hallucinating, what do you mean?
Yeah.
And I think tie that in with, you know, ethics around that, if you could just sort of give us an example of that, just so the viewers, as viewers, we can visualize and practically see what you're talking about.
Right. So hallucination is one of the things of the GPT models that has caused quite a stir. The way that the GPT models work is that they predict the probability of the next word. So the next most probable word is the word that then comes out, and those probabilities they learn from observing multiple examples of sentences and the way that people speak. So what it is doing isn't necessarily the truth. It's not able to observe the physical world and determine information from that and package it in a way to consume. It's just predicting the next probable word, which means if it doesn't know something, it's not going to stop it from predicting the next most probable word. That word will just have a lower certainty, but it's not going to tell you about that.
Yes.
It's not going to tell you that it's unsure. And a lot of the time, Determining that is unsure is actually a really complicated process. They do it with confidence. So that means that you have these systems that basically make stuff up as they go, if they are of a generative nature. Uh-huh. And I mean, in the general sense, that is quite dangerous, because if you're looking for research on the internet and you ask ChatGPT, it can just come up with a situation. And if you don't know better, you may not go and validate that information to ensure it's correct. Uh-huh. But for vernacular speakers, that issue is even worse.
100%.
Because there isn't as many examples for it to learn from. There aren't the same levels of controls put in place for vernacular languages. And then there isn't just isn't the same amount of investment of time, energy, and skills into ensuring that these machines are serving all the people that it has contact with equally, or in an equitable way. So there is a lot of space for things to go wrong there, which can do things like generate fake news or things like that, which is a problem.
Before,
that answers the question.
No, definitely. Before I let you go, because I know you have to go do the keynote, just give us what the main themes on your keynote is going to be shortly, and why is that important for you, or important for the AI machine learning space right now?
I think the main theme is around exercising the right to imagination. So a lot of the work that we have to do at the lab is imagine what the future might look like and then get people on board to help build that. So today it's going to be illustrating, you know, what can Bula Bula do? And then what can you do with Bula Bula to build this future that we're all wanting to arrive? Well, because our technology is an enabling technology for builders to build what they want to build. But I think aside from that, it's also a trying to be inspirational in the sense that there are a lot of challenges to us doing what we do, but that there's always a way around and there's always a way through, and that you don't have to model what has been done everywhere else in order to achieve what you want to achieve. So we focus on smaller models, we focus on our data, and with that, we don't need the same kinds of resources that big tech needs in order to solve problems. I would say those two are the main themes.
Benonomi Mwila, thank you so much, as always. This is our third interview now.
Yeah. Feels like home.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mahapi Show, Tech Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iafrican.com. That is iafrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show, produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.